The epistle appointed to be read for this, the feast of the Holy Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul. Is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now there were staying in Jerusalem devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard each his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, Cappadocia, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews, also proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God." And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the Prince of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus, for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, may I bring to your attention that Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are the spring Pentecostal Ember Days and are therefore days of fast and partial abstinence. We may eat meat once on Wednesday and Saturday. Next Sunday, of course, is the Feast of the Most Blessed Trinity. And at this Mass next Sunday, we will all together recite the Athanasian Creed. I want to bring something else to your attention. At least I will speak it, though it's written in the bulletin. And that is something that today, things being as they are, and you know how things are today, I want to bring to your attention, first of all, that all of us here, are totally grateful to all of the food items that you bring to us to eat, all of which and every one of which is delicious. But there's something that I have to insist on, and that is, it doesn't matter who you are or how often you bring something or whatever, it is very important that you put some kind of identification on what you bring. If we do not see any identification on the food that you bring, it doesn't matter if it comes from the store or you prepare it yourself, or whether it's fresh or cooked or whatever, it matters not at all. No matter what you bring, please put your name on it. Why? And you know all the reasons. Yes, my beloved people, think the worst you can. I don't want anything to come in here that's not identified. If it's not identified, we simply will not eat it. It's dangerous, and you know it, and I know it. We are not living in normal times. And where can our trust end? It's in your hands. So please understand what I'm trying to say, because it's important. There's only one person in here that will be excused from identifying everything he brings here. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today is Pentecost. It is the feast of the Holy Ghost. It is the birthday of our church. It was on this day that our church was born. Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, in its importance, is completely equal to the importance of the feast of Easter. The two feasts, Easter and Pentecost, in our liturgical year, form the two largest feasts of the entire year. There is no feast that can equal them. There is no feast, even within the octave, that is the 8 days after Easter and the 8 days after Pentecost, no feast of anybody, of any importance, whatever, can be acknowledged. That's how important these two feasts are. Today is Pentecost. It is the day of the Holy Ghost. My beloved people, let us go to the Holy Ghost. Let us go to the Holy Spirit. You remember, once upon a time, the people whom God loved decided to take matters in their own hands after the flood. And they wanted to construct something that would give safety to them in case it would ever happen again. And they started building a very large building. Almighty God saw it and was displeased with his people. And he punished his people. And he gave them the punishment of the confusion of tongue, where no one could understand what the other one was trying to say. You know, We today are living in a similar situation, however, a worse situation. Because we, in our great knowledge, in our great information, in our great importance, in our great abilities, are building a structure that has displeased Almighty God. And what has He done? He has punished us with the confusion of thought, where nobody knows anything about anything. And we run around with the false expertise of ignorant people, thinking that our thought is the thought that must be followed. And so we have confusion, worse, confounded. We are overwhelmed, we are overflooded with the confusion of mistaken ideas. What we must pray for on a day like today is that Almighty God, in His infinite wisdom, at least can pick those out, those of us out, who know where all things come from. We must pray for wisdom. We must pray for knowledge and understanding and patience and all of the others. The trouble with man today, of course it has been this since the beginning, but today it seems to be a lot more manifest, and that is that man has come to the very ridiculous conclusion that he, man, is the architect of his knowledge, of his understanding, of his wisdom. That he, man, has put this together for himself. And so, we have confusion in every area. Without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit operating in us, we are totally incapable of expressing a single thought of any value, regardless of what background we may have. Look at the 12 apostles. We look at them and we are so filled with that they scared as they were, frightened and afraid as they were, and scared as they were, that they burst forth and did the wonderful things they did. We get carried away with that. Unlettered men, with maybe one or the other exception, unlettered men, ignorant men, men whom we would not go out of our way to talk to. Unlettered, if you can put full emphasis on the unlettered. They were familiar only with their own craft, and that is, they knew how to catch fish. And the Spirit of God came upon them, unlettered men. And they spoke in a way that at the same time they could be understood by any man of any nation, of any language, of any understanding could understand. Instantly, these unlettered men, instantly, by the infusion of the Spirit of Almighty God, became the men that we know them to have been. And what they said and what they did, what they said, I seem to leave it at that, at the beginning, what they said became the very foundation, not only the foundation, but the very structure, the superstructure, and every part of everything that you and I are supposed to believe. They gave voice, they gave instruction, they gave direction. To everything that was told them by Jesus Christ. And all that Christ had done, as a matter of fact, up until the very last moments of Christ's stay on this earth, after the crucifixion and all that and all that and all that, at the very last moments, they were still looking for a physical leader to lead them free from foreign domination. Their interests were focused still on that. That was the summit of their abilities. After all he had said to them for the period of time that he had been with them. It simply did not penetrate. Unfortunate, but that's the way it was. Hard to believe, but that's the way it was. Then suddenly, as a wind, unexpectedly, fire entered into them. And everything, just in the flash of a flash of light, as fast as that, everything became clear to them. And so it must be with us, that everything that we wish to know will only be made known to us by the wisdom of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And what might I suggest? What is the instrument? What is the book? What is the book that we can go to that will be for us something to look at as this fire enters into our hearts and minds? Where is that book? Unbelievable. Where is that the crucifix. The crucifix. The crucifix. There is no other book. That will teach us. And it is by the use of the crucifix and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we will become what we must become, saints. Go any other place, my beloved people, I don't care where, I don't care how exalted. I don't care how well written. I speak as a fool. I think as a fool. I present myself to you as a fool because I am a fool. My beloved people, it is only in the eyes of faith that we can exist. And this faith can only be presented as God wants it presented. Our blessed Lord himself left something behind that when you analyze it, it's absolutely fearsome. In a simple, simple question that he asked. And this should be for us a warning. It should be for us something that we must prepare ourselves for. In these days and times, and it is happening, my beloved people, you've seen it, and you see it every moment. It's all around you, and all around me and us. He asked, when I come back, will I see any faith? That's an interesting question. If you stop and analyze it, see it through. See it through. Will there be any faith? Faith. He didn't ask, when I come back, this is fearsome. This is something, please, please listen to it and hear it as it is supposed to be heard. When I come back, will I find any church? And there's another question that he could have asked that is even more fearsome than that. When I come back, will I find any mass? The seriousness of these words elude us. The depth of these words are beyond us. Wherein, and please, please hear me as it is intended, please keep things in context. Do not separate things willy-nilly to prove points. Where does my salvation reside? It resides in me. And no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter what I witness, no matter what, the activity, the value, the importance of it all rests inside of me. That is why I keep hammering this week after week after week. I said last week, did I not, that we must not look upon the holy sacrifice of the Mass or the holy sacraments. It's many people today that come to our churches, wherever they may be. This is what they are looking for. Dear God, give us a priest where we can have the Mass and the sacraments. Important, of course. Please do not let it go that I am not putting importance on this. This is of supreme importance. But I also said last week that the Mass and the sacraments are not automatic passports. Grace flows from the Mass and the sacraments, of course, of course, of course. But like a clear spring, grace cannot go uphill amongst rocks, amongst stony hearts. Grace will not flow uphill into hearts that have turned to stone. Hearts, perhaps, who fulfill all the rules and all the regulations and all the suggestions and etc., etc., and etc., and still etc. Grace cannot penetrate stone. Grace can only flow the clear spring water can only flow down into the meadow. That is the place where God dwells. And it depends entirely on you and me. The liturgy. How do we look upon the liturgy? Today is Pentecost. Next Sunday is Trinity Sunday. Then comes Corpus Christi. Then comes the Sacred Heart. And so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. How do we look upon these occasions that come day after day, year after year? I think sometimes, and don't underestimate what I'm about to say, that in other places, whatever we're talking about is really theatrical. Of course, this is theater also. I will not deny that. But the liturgy is not just a commemorative listing of commemorative events, as we commemorate the 4th of July and Labor Day and whatever. The liturgy is not a simple commemorative affair. If you and I are still here walking in this city, which we are walking in this city, those that have gone before us are walking just as surely, just as definitely, just as complete, more so, they are walking in the other city. And they are taking steps just as definitely as you and I are taking steps here and now, only with greater perfection. They are in the city. You and I and us, may it please God that the day will come when you and I and us will be taking steps in that same city. And the liturgy, therefore, is a living. Today we actually live. If you can see in your mind's eye, it's not a fantasy trip, but in your mind's eye, today the Holy Spirit of God, if he came and placed himself over the heads of those 12, what is to keep him from placing himself over your heads and our heads? What is to keep him from doing that? One thing, and that's me and my pride, because I continue to insist on thinking that I am the architect. My dearest people, it was only because those poor, frightened men clearly understood their total nothingness. It was because of that that fire could rest on their heads. And to the extent that they loved, because they did, to the degree that they loved, that fire took effect. They were sinners just like you and just like me. But they were sinners who were sorry, who were repentant, and who tried their best to do something about their inefficiencies and insufficiencies. It was their humility that made the fire fill them with the heat of the love of God. And our liturgy, the liturgy of our church, is life. It is our life. It feeds us as we, while we're still walking in this city, as long as while we're still planting our feet on this land, the liturgy makes it where those that have gone before us, our mothers and fathers and all of our forefathers, all the way back in this enormous, enormous parade before God, we are right there amongst them, mixed around them, and they mixed around us as we live and relive the Holy Liturgy. Today is a day of the greatest importance. Let us look upon that day, this day, in that light. Not as today is day and it'll be over tomorrow. Today is every day of our lives. And we must understand that. We must pray for that. We must live for that. We must be nourished by that. And all of the various problems that confront us, every one of us, we become impatient. I become impatient. We become depressed. I become depressed. You become worried. I become worried, concerned, scared, tempted, whatever. Whatever in the world confronts you, confronts me. No one of us is free of this. He said it himself in today's gospel, did he not? I will no longer speak much with you because the prince of the world is coming, and indeed, the prince of the world is here. Isn't he? And he does not overlook one single solitary one of us. Does he? And so, my beloved people, as we pray to the Holy Ghost today, let us ask him to give us enough intelligence, just that much, that spark of intelligence, enough to ask for those things that are necessary, and that we will get enough smarts to put away and to turn away from things that have absolutely no significance. Do you think for one second that those who walk in the other city that we spoke of, do you think for one second that their concern are the same as ours? They have gone beyond our concerns while we flounder as a fish on the shore, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, as we struggle in a struggle of death. That's the world. And yet we continue and we continue and we continue to wonder and to doubt and to go on about our way. Pray, my beloved people, as you have never prayed before. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your children and your parents and anybody. Pray for us, that God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, were inter, that I could, that you can see, as it were, those tongues of fire over each other's heads. And in the bond of charity, in the bond of charity, that we can place ourselves at the feet of Jesus and Mary. Please kneel.